Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Let's go to the Word of God. That boy got his daddy's personality. His mama's nice and quiet and peaceful. His daddy's just a rebel. Amen. You need the name of Jesus. I'm talking about the daddy now. Praise the Lord. We're glad these families are here. We can deal with this noise. Amen. It's all good. Philippians chapter 3. Now, we've gone all the way through verse 7 and down, finished verse 13. Now, here we are, verse number 14. Everybody say, I press. All right. Toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. What a beautiful, what a powerful, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Bind the forces of Satan. God, if somebody in the building today doesn't know Christ as personal Savior, might that person realize today is the day of salvation? We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And thank you so much for standing. How to keep from getting stuck. Everywhere I go, I see Christians that are stuck. You know, you can only get saved one way. You got to get saved by grace. Somebody say amen. Through faith in it, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't get saved through the church. You can't get saved through baptism. You can't get saved through doing good works. You got to get saved by being washed in the blood. How many of you thankful for the blood of Christ? Once you get saved, the trajectory of your Christian life should ever be moving upward until Jesus comes. And yet somewhere along the way, the people of God get in a rut. They get stuck. They quit moving. They quit progressing. They quit growing. The thief cometh to kill, to steal, and destroy. I'm come that you might have what? Life, and that you might have it what? More abundantly. God wants you growing and going and glowing in the Christian life. We look at the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, writing this epistle to the church of Philippi from a prison cell. Who writes from prison on joy? I wonder how many letters we get in our prison ministry from the prisoners that where their theme is joy. I mean, the only way to write on joy from prison is you've got to know somebody that's bigger than your circumstances. And so God gave him joy. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on Jesus. It's based on a relationship with the Lord. And so we look at Philippians chapter 3 and we jump into this letter in this chapter. And we begin to notice that Paul kind of gives us a motto, a recipe, a formula for not just how he lived in Philippi in prison, but how he lived the Christian life in general. In so many words, he says to us in Philippians chapter 3, how I was, what I was doing, how I was born, what I was pursuing. And then all of a sudden, I met Jesus and Jesus changed everything. And so he never quit moving up. Spiritual discernment. We looked at the first passage. Spiritual discernment enables us to evaluate priorities and have eager pursuits. He said the things that used to be gain are lost. The things that used to be losses are gains. How many of you know that Jesus changes your math? He changes the way you evaluate and estimate things. He says, stuff I thought used to be worthless, oh, it's worthy. Stuff I thought used to be worthy is now worthless. Has anybody ever gotten to the point in your Christian life, before you got saved, you used to think that stuff was worthless, but once you met Christ, you found out it not only wasn't worthless, it was everything. Sensible disownment. I relinquish my pride. I have a righteous position. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but righteousness, which is through God by faith. Supreme desire that I may know him. How much you want to know him? An intimate experience. The word know there means to experience God. Not just to know. Still a lot of people know about God, but very few know God. He said, I want to know him. The Savior of the Bible. who walked on the earth for 33 and a half years, tempted at all points, yet without sin. The healer, the way maker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. He said, I want to know him. The power of his resurrection. I want to know how they beat him. They bruised him. They brutalized him. They belittled him. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They situated him between two thieves. They put him down there after he gave up the ghost. Put a large stone in front of it. Roman soldiers in front of it. Somebody rejoiced though that 3 days he got up out of there. He said, I want to know him. And I want to know that power. I don't know about you. You're going to keep from getting stuck in your Christian life. You need more than a stress ball. You need more than a Maya Angelou poem. You need more than a round of golf. You need more than some medication. You need resurrection power. Resurrection power. You're going to defeat sin. You need resurrection power. You're going to say no to the devil. You need resurrection power. You're going to suppress the power of the flesh. You need resurrection power. You're going to raise your kids right. You're going to wait till God's choice of marriage for you. You're going to lead a marriage last 40 years, 50 years, last 5 years. You need resurrection power. So I want to know him. Sanctified dissatisfaction, not as though I had already attained either or already perfect. He had a holy discontentment for where he was. Listen, if you're going to keep from getting stuck, you got to realize you're not there yet. I've not arrived. An honest admission, a humble acknowledgement, a healthy approach. Last week, week before that, we looked at a specialized devotion I follow after. If that I may apprehend that which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, when you got saved, you got arrested. Somebody say amen. Handcuffed by the gospel, apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ, but for a purpose. Why do Christian people get stuck? They don't live on purpose. Does God have a purpose for you? Does God have a plan for you? Does God have a blueprint for you? Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us we're saved through faith by grace. But in verse 10, it says we're his workmanship. You know what workmanship means? Masterpieces created in Christ Jesus under what? Good works. God didn't save you to live evil. God didn't save you to act a fool, did he? God saved you to be created unto what? Good works. Workmanship. Last week, single-minded direction. This one thing I do. Relinquish past and resolute progression. How many of you know if you're going to keep from getting stuck, you got to forget the past? By the way, your past tragedies, your past trials, your past troubles, your past tribulations, and even your past triumphs. You can't live in your victories in the past, otherwise you'll never have any in the future. And then a resolute progression, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Frontward attention, forward aim, future accomplishment, leaning to what God has ahead. This pandemic has been interesting. It's been unprecedented. We all, I know personally, I'm facing a season in life unlike anything I've ever faced. But you know what? I believe enough about the God of the Bible. I believe enough about the Jesus Pascal just sang about. I believe enough about the Holy Ghost that's been deposited in my spirit. I believe enough about this word that is infallible, inerrant, and inspired. Watch this now. That the best is yet to come. I believe that. The best is yet to come. I want to end today, as we come to the end of this, with a strong determination. Strong determination. Pastor, why is it that a number of Christian people get stuck? I'll tell you why. They're not determined. Look at me just a moment. I said they're not determined. Pastor, you trying to tell me I'm not determined? I'm telling you, if you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, if the Jesus that got up out the grave is living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and you're not moving forward, I'm trying to tell you, you're not determined. Now let's look at the words. I press. If you're taking notes this morning, write down an extreme push. Listen, you're going to be a good Christian. You got to push. Now, every once in a while I hear Christian people complaining about the push of the Christian life. And be a Christian, we always got to push. We got to do this. We got to go here. We got to go to church. We got to read the Bible. We can't go here. We can't do this. We can't watch this. We can't say this. We can't wear this. We can't act like this. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't. Let me tell you something. Christian people ain't the only people pushing. Anybody been watching the Olympics? Do you think to be an Olympian, you can be a good one without pushing? For 4 years. Maybe 5 years now since it got delayed last year. Some of these folks have been pushing for years to run a race that lasts 10 seconds. Let me ask you a question. If it's not too much for an Olympian to push to run to win some medal or some recognition that will pass away. You tell me why you should be a child of God, been snatched out of hell, redeemed, brand new mercy, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and dwelt by the Holy Ghost of God, given a Bible filled with the precious promises of God that are yea and amen. Somebody say amen. Why you shouldn't push? I press. The depiction is of a runner pushing. Can I ask you a question? How hard did you push this week? Well, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me that I do more Bible reading. You don't read your Bible because you don't push. I don't ever find a Christian say to me, pray for me. I've gone 3 weeks in a row and didn't go to work. You don't go to work because you want to go to work. You go to work because you don't want to be broke. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired of being spiritually broke? And what you think you ought to do? Get up and go to work. How do I go to work as a Christian? I get in this book. I push myself. Pray for me in my prayer life. You got to push yourself. An extreme push. Listen to me, young people. You're not going to be a good Christian without pushing. You think these businessmen that are successful got to the point where they're sitting on millions and billions of dollars without pushing? Well, I'd be a good Christian, but I'm just not interested in ever being tired. Do you think Christian people are only people tired? Athletes are tired. How about these musicians? Oh, if I could just be a movie star, a musician, and make all that money. You think they don't get tired working on the set? Tired singing those concerts? Tired running around the world? Hey, let me tell you something. You're going to get tired if you be a good Christian. But the good thing about being a Christian is you're tired is a whole lot more rewarding than their tired is. Everybody say, I press. Now look at the verse. Toward the mark. There's an extreme push. But watch this now. There's an ending point. Come on now. One day it's going to be all over. I said one day it's going to be all over. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more medication. No more chest tightness. No more virus. No more need to get vaccinated. Amen. No more social distancing. No more quarantining. No more masks. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, you know, there are people I've met during the pandemic. I have no idea what they look like. Some of you, if I saw you without your mask, I wouldn't know who you are. Now, some of you I knew before this, but some people, it's all we've seen. Hey, let me see. One day we're never going to have to wear a mask. We're going to never have to worry about catching anything. Amen. Every day is going to be like the best Sunday. Sitting around heaven and seeing Jesus face to. Listen to me. Paul said, I press, but I'm telling you something. I'm pressing toward the mark. Here's what he's saying. There's no time to quit. How do you get stuck in the Christian life? You quit. You ever driven past somebody on the road, broke down? I know what you're saying. Yeah, I drove right on past. There they are, out of gas. Flat tire. Car has stalled. Meanwhile, you're moving right along down the road. Somebody that's supposed to be moving, that wants to be moving, that should be moving, has stalled. You know, as a Christian, it's frustrating, it's discouraging. To be moving and watching other Christians that have stalled. It seems like every year I go back to a church and I ask about somebody. And say, how's that person? He's not here anymore. Not that they went on serving somewhere else. They're not serving God at all. Can I ask you a question? If God doesn't quit taking care of you, why in the world would you quit serving him? I press toward the mark. That's what the runner's looking at. He's looking at the finishing point. I didn't get in a race to quit. I didn't start to give up. I didn't sign up not to finish. I didn't get going to say I was in it, but I never continued on. Hey, let me tell you something. These last days, listen, weaker than I've ever been, with less energy than I've ever had in my life. I'm more determined than ever to finish strong. Do you want to finish strong? It takes an extreme push. It takes an ending point. But notice what he says after that. I press toward the mark. Next three words. Say it with me. For the prize. Say it now. There's an esteemed prize. There's an esteemed prize. Do you know that Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, know you not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye might obtain. I therefore run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth against the air, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What did he say? They run to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible. You realize the prize God gives you is going to be a crown? Do you realize the crown's never going to fade away? Hey, the stuff we get down here. Listen, you can't take nothing with you down here. That nice car. Nothing wrong having a nice car. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong having nice clothes. Amen. Y'all agree with me? Nothing wrong having nice things. You ain't going to take them with you. But how about that crown? He said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. He said, we get a lot of accolades down here. And by the way, sometimes the discouragement down here is you work hard and you don't get recognized. You ever get on your job and watch people that work much less than you do get rewarded much more than you are? Raise your hand if that bothers you. Raise the other hand if it really bothers you. You say, I'm working hard. I'm struggling. I'm grinding. Here he is. Comes in late, leaves early, gets promoted, gets recognized, asked to be off to live for the devil, and they approve it. I asked to be off to do something for God, and they reject it. Seems like nobody ever pays attention to me. Maybe you work in the church. You do the things behind the scenes. You don't have a soloist voice. You don't preach out up in front of everybody. You don't stand up and testify. You're not a teacher. You're not a deacon. You're not a trustee. You're not a ministry leader, but you clean bathrooms, and you work in the nursery, and you ride on the bus, and you pick up kids, and it seems like you never notice. Your name doesn't get printed in the bulletin, or you don't get announced, or people don't realize how much you, so much goes on behind the scenes, and you don't get recognized. And sometimes you get discouraged, and you say, why should I do it if nobody's going? I'm trying to tell you, up in heaven, there's a God who sits high and looks low, and he's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and your work, and that you minister to the saints and do minister. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Let us not be weary and dwell doing, for in due season will reap if we faint not. Listen to me. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you get nothing down here, if you get overlooked down here, if you get ignored down here, if nobody pays attention to you down here, if you're unappreciated down here, if nobody recognizes what you do, now, there's coming a day where everything you've done, God will recognize, and you will be rewarded. Toward the prize. The prize of the high calling. It literally means the heavenly call, the upward calling. That's everything God intended for me to be when he saved me. The high calling. And by the way, when he calls us from here to there, bless God, we ain't going down, we're going up. Looking for that what? Yes. One day the trumpet's going to sound. Somebody say amen. It could happen while I'm preaching. Amen. I'm getting out of here. I'm going up. I'm pressing on the what? The upward way. The prize of the high calling of God. He's calling me out of here. But here's the high calling. Everything he's intended to me. All the joy, all the peace. But not only all the joy and the peace. The sanctification and the holiness and the righteousness and the godliness. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. 1 John says, for we shall see him what? As he is. You know what that means? I'm going to see the nail-pierced hands. I'm going to see the nail-scarred side. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last. Ever to what? Rejoice. It's an extreme push. There's an ending point. There's an esteemed prize. But here's what I want to close in this verse. There's an endearing person. Somebody say amen. In Christ Jesus. Hey, look, I can't wait to get that crown. Can you? Can you imagine a place so expensive, so high dollar, that they use gold for asphalt? Can you imagine the pearly gates? How about that mansion he's building for us? My mama used to say, my mansion's going to be so big, I'm going to need a golf cart to ride from room to room. Can you imagine? Somebody said, how big is it going to be? Well, he's been gone for 2,000 years preparing it. I reckon it's going to be pretty big. Can you imagine that river of life? Can you imagine that tree? Can you imagine shaking Paul's hand? Peter's hand. I wonder how you ladies going to want to talk to Esther or Ruth. I want to talk to them too. I want to talk to that lad. Say, man, we never knew what your name was. But boy, that lunch you gave. Catfish and cornbread. You say, how you know it was catfish? Why in the world would Jesus multiply and feed 5,000 people with any kind of fish besides catfish? And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how his mama fixed that lunch, but I guarantee you once it got in Jesus' hands, it was deep fried. Say, what were the disciples doing? They were passing out hot sauce. Tartar sauce. Cornbread. Sweet cornbread. If you're from the South, I know that's kind of insulting, sweet cornbread. But you've been up here long enough to get used to it. Sweet cornbread with butter. Hallelujah. I want to talk to that boy about it. How about you? I want to talk to Stephen. How in the world could you talk good about people stoning you? I want to talk to Jonah. What's it like? What's it like being 3 days in a whale's belly? Huh? I want to talk to Abraham and Sarah. They didn't have Guinness back there, Sarah, but if they did, you'd be in that world record book. Amen. I want to talk to that sister about that. But I want to see Jesus. I want to see him. I want to thank him. I want to thank him for loving me while I was yet a sinner. I want to thank him for looking beyond my faults and seeing my need. I want to thank him for hanging and bleeding, suffering for my sins. I want to thank him for staying on that cross. I'm thanking him that he could have called 10,008. Listen, he could have fought and killed all of them. But he hung up. I'm thanking for his love, for his grace, for his mercy. I want to thank him for redeeming me. I want to thank him for pardoning me. I want to thank him for allowing God to adopt me on the grounds of his work on the cross. I want to thank him for his long suffering, his patience. I want to thank him for being pure, for being righteous, for being altogether lovely. I want to lay my eyes on this. Listen to me. I got up early this morning and had a good talk with Jesus, and I enjoyed it through the Holy Spirit of God. But oh, what it's going to be like to get to the end of that race and lay my eyes on the one who put me in the race, who enrolled me, who registered me, who put me in, who signed his name over my name in his red crimson blood. Somebody rejoice over the fact it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen one day. Paul said, I'm determined. I'm determined now, because of what's going to happen then. Have you lost your determination? People don't want to fight anymore. Christian people just tired of fighting. I just don't want to fight at living for God. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't fight for something, you're going to fall for anything. And listen, lost people fighting too. But they're fighting without the help of the Holy Ghost. And we look at Paul and go, well, I don't know about you. Every once in a while you look at people and you go, bless their heart. That either means you feel sorry for them or they have achieved a status in life that you've already agreed you ain't going to get to. I ain't no Paul. I wasn't born with Paul. I don't have Paul in me. Bless his heart. You don't have Paul in you, but you have who Paul had in him. And we as a church in these last days are going to have to be more determined than ever to keep living for God. Say it with me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, get everything in you this week and push. You ain't going to stay married in this crazy world if you ain't pushing. You're not going to stay in the ministry if you ain't pushing. You're not going to stay pure if you're not pushing. You're not going to stay godly if you're not pushing. But you push by the grace of God. The good news is, God's right there pushing with you. And at the end of the race, every time you get discouraged, look at the end of the race. Guess who's cheering you on? Jesus. Come on. Come on. And one day he's going to give you that crown. And you know the best part about getting the crown? Giving it back. Casting it at the Savior's feet. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, help us. Forgive us for not pushing. How can we expect to be good Christians without getting tired, working, being diligent? Heads bowed, eyes closed.